Task 1.
So, today's expert teacher is Gabriella, a university English teacher from Leeds. Gabriella, hi, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, I have to confess, today's topic is something I am really bad at, listening. Most people say speaking is the most stressful part of learning a new language, but for me, with my B1 German, speaking isn't so bad. At least I'm in control of it, but listening, whoa. People speak so fast, and it's like my brain just shuts down. Am I just really strange and bad at listening? Tell me honestly, I can take it.
No, you're not strange. In fact, it's really common. You know, in exams, most people do pretty well in speaking compared with listening. Of course, exams are a different situation from real life because in an exam, you can't ask for something to be repeated or explained. You usually have just one or maybe two opportunities to listen to the dialogue and then it's gone.
Right, but in real life, I feel stupid always saying, sorry, can you repeat that please? Especially if I still don't understand even when they repeat it. And people out there listening, I hope you don't do this. Quite often, the person just repeats what they said equally as fast and I'm still lost.
They do, don't they? In real life, you've got two strategies. One is to pretend to understand and get out of the conversation as fast as you can.
Yep, sounds familiar.
But obviously, that's not going to help if it's a conversation with high stakes. It might have important consequences. I mean, if you're just chatting with a stranger at the bus stop, it doesn't matter. But imagine you're at a government office or a bank trying to find out what paperwork you need to get your ID or open a bank account. What can you do then?
I hope you got the answer, Gabriella, because I'm coming out in a cold sweat just thinking about either of those situations.
The other strategy is to summarise what they said.
But how can you do that if you didn't understand what they said?
Well, you only start the summary. So you might say, in German in your case, okay, so the first thing I have to do is... and make it a question. Or, for example, and which office is that again? Break it down into smaller questions and the other person will naturally start answering them. That way you're controlling the conversation a bit more.
I get you.
You have 20 seconds to complete the task. Now, listen to the text again.
So, today's expert teacher is Gabriella, a university English teacher from Leeds. Gabriella, hi, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, I have to confess, today's topic is something I am really bad at, listening. Most people say speaking is the most stressful part of learning a new language, but for me, with my B1 German, speaking isn't so bad. At least I'm in control of it, but listening, whoa. People speak so fast, and it's like my brain just shuts down. Am I just really strange and bad at listening? Tell me honestly, I can take it.
No, you're not strange. In fact, it's really common. You know, in exams, most people do pretty well in speaking compared with listening. Of course, exams are a different situation from real life because in an exam, you can't ask for something to be repeated or explained. You usually have just one or maybe two opportunities to listen to the dialogue and then it's gone.
Right, but in real life, I feel stupid always saying, sorry, can you repeat that please? Especially if I still don't understand even when they repeat it. And people out there listening, I hope you don't do this. Quite often, the person just repeats what they said equally as fast, and I'm still lost.
They do, don't they? In real life, you've got two strategies. One is to pretend to understand and get out of the conversation as fast as you can.
Yep, sounds familiar.
But obviously, that's not going to help if it's a conversation with high stakes. It might have important consequences. I mean, if you're just chatting with a stranger at the bus stop, it doesn't matter. But imagine you're at a government office or a bank trying to find out what paperwork you need to get your ID or open a bank account. What can you do then?
I hope you got the answer, Gabriella, because I'm coming out in a cold sweat just thinking about either of those situations.
The other strategy is to summarise what they said.
But how can you do that if you didn't understand what they said?
Well, you only start the summary. So you might say, in German in your case, OK, so the first thing I have to do is... and make it a question. Or, for example, and which office is that again? Break it down into smaller questions and the other person will naturally start answering them. That way you're controlling the conversation a bit more.
I get you.
You have 20 seconds to complete the task.
Okay, are we all together? Right, next we're going to look at the llamas. But actually here, we have four different animals which are all from South America and all related to camels. Llamas, which you have probably heard of over here. And over there, alpacas, vicuñas and guanacos. Llamas and alpacas are both domesticated animals, and vicuñas and guanacos are wild. Llamas are the biggest animal. They can grow up to 1.8 metres tall. And in the past, they were used to carry things. Llamas are very sociable animals and live together in groups, in herds.
Don't they spit at people, though?
Well, yes, they can. All members of the camel family sometimes spit. You don't want to mistreat a llama. It might even spit some of the contents of its stomach at you. But if you treat them properly, they're not likely to. They respond well to being trained, and they are usually gentle and curious. Okay? Over here, we have the alpacas. As you can see, they are smaller than the llamas. They've got smaller faces, and they always look as though they are smiling. Look at this one's face.
Aww.
The alpaca is famous for its wool, which is softer and warmer than sheep's wool. There's a big demand for alpaca wool from the fashion industry. Right, next to the alpacas, we have the vicuñas. As I said before, these animals are wild and they are thought to be the ancestors of the alpacas. Vicuñas are very elegant and graceful creatures. Look at this one. She's beautiful.
She's lovely.
Have you heard of the Incas, the ancient rulers of Latin America who lived in the Andes? Well, they wore clothes made from vicuña wool. Only the royal family were allowed to wear the wool. It is even softer than alpaca wool, but vicuñas can only be shorn of their wool every 3 years. For that reason, the wool's very expensive. And lastly, we have the guanacos. They are similar to the vicuñas, but larger and stronger. They're capable of surviving at over 4,000 metres in the Andes. When they are in the desert, they survive by licking the water off the cacti and other desert plants. Right, any questions?
I think I can hear this llama making a noise.
Yes, that could be the llama humming. They don't open their mouths, they just make this strange noise. They hum when they are stressed, or the opposite, feeling relaxed.
Can llamas live in the UK?
Yes, there are quite a lot of llamas and alpaca in the UK. They adapt very well to our climate. They make good pets, and sometimes they're used for trekking. You go on a picnic and use a llama to carry your food.
Cool! I want to do that.
And sometimes farmers use them as guard dogs. I mean, guard llama. The adult males will protect sheep and hens from animals that might attack them, like dogs or foxes. They're really useful animals. Now, anyone else got any questions?
You have 15 seconds to finish the task. The listening part is over.